We are wanting to talk about effective premarital counseling. And I wanted to start by suggesting that there's a lot of different views on premarital counseling out there. You know, some churches do nothing. Some churches have a class that couples have to take. Some churches give couples the assignment of speaking with an older couple or two in the church and find out what worked for them. And some do premarital counseling at least in some form. Well, with that kind of wide variety of landscape, what I'd like to suggest is I'd like to begin by encouraging you to commit to having some personal meetings with individuals. And let me explain a couple of reasons why I advocate personal meetings. Now, I'm all for churches doing a class. I think there's some benefits that classes can have. But ultimately, I'm suggesting that before you allow someone to get married, that you actually have a few personal conversations with them. And the material that I'm going to be going over is, I wrote a book called Tying the Knot. The purpose of the book was just simply to have some pre-marriage counseling material that would be available to mentors as well as to counselees who would have an interest in going through some material. Now, there's some valuable stuff out there. I used to use Preparing for Marriage God's Way for a long time. It would take a person about 4 hours to do some of those assignments. So what I decided to do was I was going to write something that would take between 60 and 90 minutes per week. In other words, you read the chapter, you do the exercises, you talk about it, 60 to 90 minutes. And I figured that if somebody's going to fuss at me about 60 to 90 minutes, then I could tell them that they really weren't ready to get married. But 4 hours was on the other end of that extreme, at least from my perspective. So I'm advocating personal meetings. A few reasons for that. Personal meetings are beneficial to the mentors, and they're benefits to your church. See, one of the things that you do by having a mentor couple go through some material with someone is it really is the difference between building a guardrail at the top of the cliff or building a clinic at the bottom of it. Which one do you want to have? Do you want to see the individuals before their marriage, before they create a mess, or do you want to see them after the mess has already been created? And for me, I would much rather have something discussed and covered ahead of time as opposed to waiting until something happens and then having to do it. I think it's also a great training opportunity. You know, as pastors, we're constantly looking to equip others to do the work of the ministry along with us. And so one of the ways in which we can do that is to train people to do premarital counseling. So we don't have to do all of the premarital counseling, but we can have trained and qualified individuals to do that. It really is a benefit to them. And it actually helps them serve as team leaders. It helps them serve as small group leaders, as Bible study leaders. In other words, part of premarital counseling mentoring actually is equipping leaders. It also encourages them, that is the mentors, to see God working in a situation where things are pretty good to begin with. In other words, premarital counseling is not your typical counseling case because people aren't mad at each other, right? At least not initially. They're pretty excited. They're pretty fired up about getting married. And so here's an opportunity for someone to have a really joyful first experience. Then personal meetings are actually beneficial to the couple. I like to tell my couples this, that you can either pay the tuition or you can earn a scholarship. Which one do you want? And I've never met someone who said to a university, hey, you know what? I realize you want to give me a scholarship, but you know, if you gave me a scholarship, I don't think I would appreciate the education as much. And so I'm going to work and pay for it myself instead. Right? I mean, who does that, right? You're going to give me a scholarship. It's woohoo, man, fantastic, awesome. Well, I'm giving my couples an opportunity to earn a scholarship. And that is, I'm going to tell you how to have a good marriage from the beginning as opposed to make some mistakes and have to learn some lessons along the way. I would rather you learn from the mistakes of others than learn from your own. That's called a scholarship. And it's a chance to talk about issues personally, because if you just do a class, then people will not share individual things. They're not going to talk about the specifics of their life when you're in a class. Because after all, who really wants to open up about that? Right? Who wants to open up a little can of worms about the fact that yesterday you had a big fight while all the other couples just look at you and say, wow, we had a wonderful date. You know, nobody's going to do that. And so the class is great for disseminating information, but it is lousy for doing the personal conversations. It also is an opportunity to expose issues that they didn't know were there. In other words, part of the premarital counseling task is that I have the opportunity to push my counselees a little bit in ways personally that might create a few opportunities to talk about things that they would not have talked about otherwise because they didn't know they were issues. And personal meetings cannot accomplish some things that classes cannot. They don't really allow for discipleship. They allow for content dissemination, but not really discipleship. So let me walk through the process of what I do and kind of how I put it together. And this material will actually be in that book a little bit later. I like to begin with an encouraging session. So I want to start off week one with an encouraging session. And I give the same question to the guy and the girl. I say, congratulations. And then I look at him and I say, you know what? There are 3 billion women on this planet. Did you realize that? 3 billion. Why her? Why do you want her? I mean, there's 3 billion choices. I mean, that's a lot of choices. That's a lot of girls. Why this one? And then I say to her, you know, there are 3 billion guys on this planet. You know, that's a lot of choices. You got a lot of choices for men. So why this one? And it gives me the opportunity to hear why it is that they decided to get together. What is it about each one of them that they were really excited about? And then here's what I say. This process, this premarital counseling process, is not about the ceremony. Okay, I care like this much about the ceremony. I care a little bit about it, but just a little bit. What I care about is the 50 years that you're going to have after the ceremony. So my intention is to focus a lot about the 50 years and just a little bit on the 50 minutes that we're going to have in the ceremony. And what that does is I think it just gives me an opportunity to encourage them, to be excited with them, to laugh with them, to have some good relationship building with them so that I can talk to them about the issues that are really going to come up. And here's how I do each of the weeks after that. I provide a brief introduction to the material that they're going to read. So I may take 5, 10, maybe even 15 minutes, and I'll say, here's what you're going to read this week. Then they actually read it, do the exercises, and then the next week, I review what they did. That means I have the opportunity to talk to them 3 times about each subject. Brief introduction, discussion, and then discussion with them at the end. And so that allows me then, I think, to really discuss the issues that are most important. So there are 8 principles that I want my counselees to think about. Number 1, Jesus has to be the center of their life. You see, what I want them to first and foremost recognize is their marriage is not first and foremost about their marriage. See, if they think it's about their marriage, then they're already behind the 8 ball. Because the fact of the matter is that their marriage is an outflow of the relationship that they have with Christ. You cannot teach a guy to be a godly husband until he first is committed to Christ to begin with, as a person. You can't teach the girl how to be a godly wife unless she is first of all committed to being a godly person. And they are going to sin against each other, right? Every one of you who is married or has been married, you know. Are they going to sin against each other? Yes, they will. And so how do you handle sinning against someone, and how do you handle being sinned against? And the answer is, at least in part, I have to have Christ at the center of my life. And so I lovingly tell them that Christ has to be the center of their life. So their marriage is not really about their marriage. Their marriage is about their walk with Christ. And so what would motivate my counselors to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind? We talk about the fact that God has provided a lot of reasons for loving him, like that he died for them. This is somewhat of some material that we talked about a little bit last night, that God gave them a new identity, that Jesus provides all the spiritual resources that they need to love, to serve, to give. In other words, when I talk about Romans 8, 31 to 35, you know, have you guys all heard about the love tank idea? Right? When your love tank is full, then you're free to give. You ever heard about that? Okay, I see some who are going, yeah. I see some who are just looking at me like I have no idea what you're talking about. All right, here's what I like to say to my couples, because they've often heard about this. Jesus fills your love tank. That's where your love tank gets full. Not from the other person. Your love